Well, this morning we've been having a good time. At least, let me say this. I've been having a good time with the stories we've been looking at, the parables that we've been walking our way through. Today we're going to look at the final one. But I've been thrilled looking at these. And I've been thrilled with the conversation that's been happening Tuesday night in our life group and other times as a follow-up to these different parables that we've been looking at. So I really want to thank you for the way you jumped in and really allowing it to sink way down in. And again, thanks for being here, and we want to say thank you to those who will be listening online as well a little bit later, and so we're excited about that. So let's jump right into this final message in this series that we've been looking at. And again, it's the four of the most famous stories that Jesus ever told. And that's why we have sort of poached that title a little bit, Story Matters Here, because the stories that Jesus told should be of utmost importance to us and what he has to say, but also your story and my story and how we interact with this Savior is also very important as well. So as we continue through this, we just want to be able to say that story and your story does matter here. And we really want you to really kind of find your way forward by looking at what Jesus has to say through the stories he tells. So with Jesus, they weren't just stories. They weren't just sort of anything at all. They were stories that he called parables. And a parable, and are you ready for a test this morning? How many of you are ready for a test? I won't test you. A parable is a story that is designed to make a point, to bring a truth to life, and that's why they're called the parables, because the word parable means to place something alongside of something else. Or in this case, as Jesus told the story, he was really teaching a parallel truth at the same time through that story. And so as we look at these parables, it was Christ's way of simplifying the message. It was Christ's way of clarifying things that needed to be delivered to the church. Now, you and I don't know how you are. I'm a pretty simple guy. That's why my name's Mark. It only has four letters. I can manage that, all right? So I'm pretty good with that. And so I'm a pretty simple guy. I love it when things are clarified. I love it when things are simplified. And that's what Jesus was doing as he told these great stories. He's saying, I want you to catch the truth that is absolutely critical, but I want to do it in a way that is simple, a way that clarifies that truth for you. And so today, so far we've talked about the prodigal son, we talked about the parable of the good Samaritan, we talked about the parable of the sower of the seeds. And so today we're going to close this series by looking at the parable where I think in this parable there's a comparison being made. And it's a comparison between us and God. Now, how would you like to be, I can be compared with my brothers or sisters. I can handle that. But when you start comparing me with God, then I feel a little bit intimidated in some way, all right? So, but this parable is really a story that compares who we are to who God is. And so it's a story of a manager and a story of how he handles his employees. And so we read that for you in Matthew 25, 14 down to 30, the end of the chapter. And again, it's just a great parable. And so the idea of this story or this parable is that, and I'm going to give you the nutshell right up front, is that God is the master and we are the servants. But let's talk about that today, all right? So first of all, there are some really incredible ideas that are coming out of this parable. And one of the ideas coming out of this parable, and it's probably the first point in your notes, and I can't remember if I follow along with your notes or not. For those of you who are OCD and you want every blank filled in just perfectly, I may throw off your groove today because I don't know, I can't remember. But we'll do the best we can to fill those notes in. But the first big idea come out of this parable and out of this story is that God is the owner and we are the managers. So let's talk about that first part of that. God is the owner. And I don't know about you, but when I was studying this story, it just kind of blew my mind a little bit to think, you know what, everything I have, all my intellect, which is limited some days, all my abilities, my gifts, my talents, all my stuff that I have, all my huge piles of money that I have, just joking, all right? But all of that I have, God is the owner of everything I have. Even the very breath that I breathe, he is the owner of that breath. And so the first big idea come out of this parable that I think Jesus was really wanting us to get a grip on is that really, folks, he owns everything that we have. And again, I don't know how that impacts you, but when I began to think about it, I thought, wow, my health, my intelligence, my abilities, all of that comes from God. And all of that is a direct result of God's enablement. Of God's enablement. Now, some of you may be thinking this morning, hey, pastor, stop right there. No, no, no. You don't know how hard I've worked to earn everything I have. I'm a self-made person. You know, I've got everything I have, I worked hard for it, and I have no doubt about it. But at the end of the day, we need to be reminded of what the Bible tells us, that really he is the owner of everything we have. So let me, just in case you're still doubting that a little bit, I'm going to let God talk to you through a couple of verses here. Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18 says this. He says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember that the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Again, everything we have, he's the owner of it. So what God is saying there is that before we get too high on our horse about all of our accomplishments, all that we've earned, about all that we've gained, about everything that you or I have accumulated, God says, before you get too high and mighty about that, just remember, your very next breath comes from me. I don't know about you, but I just find that very humbling. And to be reminded that everything I have, he is the owner of it. Let's take it even deeper. Not only does he enable us to have all the stuff and to be able to have it, but if God is who he really says he is, if he's the very creator of all that we have, and by that definition as creator, he is the rightful owner, everything that's in this world, we need to be reminded of a few other things that Scripture says. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He's the owner. And God says, the land is mine. So in case you're thinking about the land that you have your house on, it doesn't even belong to us. God says he's the owner. Leviticus 25, 23. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, declares the Lord. Haggai 2, 8. And every animal, in case you're thinking about your dog or your cat this morning, all right, he says, every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills and so forth, from Psalm 50, verse 10. And so this morning, I cannot stress enough that in this life and in this journey that you and I are walking, Jesus is trying to remind us that you and I really don't own anything, nothing at all. So, if we don't own anything, what does that make us? Well, that makes us the managers. That's really where we're headed with this, is that you and I are to be the manager of everything that God has given us the privilege to have. And so we are the managers of everything that's been given to us. That means we're the manager of the gifts and the abilities, the skills and the talents we have that he's given us. We are the manager of the time that has been given to us. And as we see in this story, it focuses, its primary focus is on money. We are the manager, not the owner, of the money that has been given to us as well. And so as we begin to look at this parable, folks, I want you to notice a very important difference here. As the owner, God has all the rights. We don't. But as managers, we have a responsibility. The responsibility is what kind of manager are you with everything that God's given you? He's the owner. He has a right to it all. But we are the managers. And so the question is, what kind of manager are we? Are we taking our responsibility serious? And so your primary role and my primary role as we go through this life is to be a manager of the money that we have, to be a manager of the gifts and abilities we have, to be the manager of the time that you have. You say you don't have enough time, But really, maybe we're just being a poor manager of our time. Maybe we say we don't have enough time to serve God. Well, maybe we just need to look at what kind of manager we are of our time. We say we don't have enough money or we don't have enough whatever. The question is, are we managing everything that God has given us in a responsible way? He's the owner, we're the managers, and so what are we going to do? So let me bring you into the next point is, the real message of this parable, as you begin to look at it, is that Jesus is really saying that you and I are going to be held accountable for our management. You and I are going to be held accountable for how we manage this life that we live. Let me just stop here. This is serious. This is a life test. This is one of the biggest things that you and I, especially if we present ourselves as people who believe in Jesus and we want to follow him, the biggest question we could ask ourselves is, what kind of manager am I of all that God has given me? That is a huge test, a huge life test. And so as we look at this idea, we just need to remind ourselves that Jesus told this parable because even as you go down towards the end of the parable, where I kind of felt he dealt really harshly with the one who went and buried it in the ground, but we'll get to that in just a moment. But even as he looked at that, Jesus was saying, this is a big story. It really matters. It really matters how you manage your life. And so the guy who, at the end of the story, buried everything, and let's just read it again from verses 28 and 29. It says, and then he, the master, ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one who has 10 talents. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. Isn't it incredible when you think of it? And they that have an abundance, and they will have an abundance. But those who do nothing, even what little they have, will be taken away. You talk about, ouch, that hurts. That hurts. That's a big ouch. That's a really tough word that Jesus was delivering, but he wanted to make it clear how serious this really is. And I can't stress it enough this morning, that this life test is ultimately what you and I are going to be evaluated on. One day, you and I will either have a pass or a fail regarding our management of all that God has given us. And I know I don't want that to weigh too heavy on you, but I want it to weigh heavy in recognizing the seriousness of it. You will either pass or you will fail. How are you doing today when it comes to using all that God has given to you? How you manage what God has given to you is a big deal. And God treats it like a big deal. And so God even tells us that, you know, if you start doing stuff the way that God wants you to do it, he says, what I will do is I will amplify your life. If you start being faithful as a good manager, regardless of whether you have a little or you have a much. And some people say, well, it's easy to manage if you've got a lot of stuff and a lot of money. You need to manage it. Do you know what? Even if you're very poor and you have very little, God still says how you manage what you have is incredibly important. It doesn't matter how much you have. There's no excuses in between. But he says, if you will be faithful and manage things by the principles and the precepts that I've given you, he says, I will amplify your life. I will make your life have a lasting impact, a lasting legacy. You will have an influence that is far greater than what you ever imagined if you will be faithful in how you manage what I give you, how you manage your resources. You will have a life that is 10 times more than what you ever expected it to be. And folks, let me just stop here. I believe that principle. I believe that truth. If you want your life to matter and have a greater influence, a greater impact, a greater sense of anything, it all starts in how you manage what God has given you. If you have small things, take those small things and be faithful. If you have lots, take that abundance and be faithful. How you manage is really ultimately what you're going to be accountable for and what I'm going to be accountable for. And everything about this, and even the flip side of it, if you don't manage it well, God's going to take what you have away from you and he's going to give it to someone else who will be faithful and who will say, you know what, I can count on that person. Everything here is totally your call. God says it's up to you. How are you going to manage? What are you going to do with it? And again, it doesn't start with having a lot. So whether you have a little or a lot, it's still the same principle. It's all about the management. This parable is incredible when you look at it. And so the one guy at the end of it, that poor guy, you know, I still feel bad for him. Even though I know he did the wrong thing, I still feel bad for him. That poor guy at the end of it, he failed that life test. And so what I want to do is I want to conclude this message by giving you four things why I believe this guy failed at the end of this parable. Because these four things I'm about to give to you are the four things that will trip us up today and why we will fail in being faithful managers with all that God has given us. And so again, it's four things that I think will trip anybody up, not just this guy. First of all, when I look at this passage, I realize that one of the things that tripped him up is the same thing that trips us up today, is we're afraid. We're afraid. And what that means is that this guy, he didn't trust God enough to do what he was told to do when it came to managing the money. The manager said, I want you to, you know, when I come back, we're going to settle accounts. And this guy didn't even, he was so fearful and so bound up, he couldn't even think of the most simplest of thing of taking his one talent and put it in the bank and getting a little bit of interest. And if it was in a Canadian bank, it would have been very little interest, all right? But he was so fearful, he couldn't even think of the simplest thing to do. And I wonder how many of us, when it comes to being everything that God wants us to be, we sometimes say, well, I could never be like that person. They must have a big S on their chest. They're a super Christian. They're changing the world, making a difference. You know, I believe with all my heart that even within this room, that there is a potential here to incredibly change our city, to change our nation, and to make a difference in our world. The problem is that we're afraid. We don't really believe that we can trust God to really make our lives count 10 times more than what we ever expected. And so that person in the story, they were afraid. And I wonder how many of us are afraid, and because we're fearful, we miss out on what God has for us, his very best that he has for us, his calling, his everything he wants to do. We're afraid of the risk. We're afraid of what we might lose. The second reason he failed the test was because of selfishness. Because of selfishness. I think, if I can be honest here this morning, I think we've made life all about ourselves and all about our comfort. Even in the church today, we make it all about ourselves, all about our comfort, all about our safety. And we look at our comfort, we look at our stuff, and we say, hey, that's my ticket. That's my ticket to peace and prosperity. That's my ticket to comfort and retirement. And basically, selfishness has ruled the day. And I think in this parable of the one talent, I think there was an element of selfishness there where he made it all about him. He was fearful what his master might say. He didn't want to be uncomfortable. And I wonder today that sometimes we don't do what God wants us to do because we're too busy being caught up in our own comfort. Our own comfort. The third reason I think he failed the test was because of apathy. Matter of fact, he didn't even care about the master's money enough. He thought a hole in the ground was just fine for the master's stuff. He thought a hole in the ground was just good enough. I wonder how many of us have an indifference, an apathy towards the things of God. And so, big deal, Pastor. What about that stuff? What about, you know, time, talent, treasures, blah, blah, blah? Sometimes apathy creeps into our daily lives and the way we live. I can become apathetic or indifferent towards my spouse. I can become apathetic or indifferent towards my children. And I can be apathetic towards the future or the past or whatever it may be. Apathy is one of the reasons why this servant failed the test. And I wonder today how many of us, our lives are bound up in indifference. Maybe we've been hurt, and because of that hurt, we let apathy creep in, and we no longer treat the things of God with reverence. And we say a hole in the ground is just fine. Good enough is good enough for God. You know, it isn't. God deserves our best. He deserves us to serve Him with excellence. And so today I want to encourage you, think about it. If you've let apathy creep into your life, it could cause you to fail the greatest accountability test you will ever face. One day when we stand before God. But the final one, I think, is probably the most critical of these four things. But this final one, I think, really is the heart of it. And this, the fourth one, is that he failed the test, and we fail the test sometimes, is because we don't think God really is the owner. We hear that he is, but we really think we're the owner. We think we're the captain of our ship. We're the one who controls everything. I think ultimately in this, he failed the test because he didn't really believe that God was the owner. And I wonder how many of us still think that I'm the owner. It's my stuff. It's my money. And again, for those of us that are believers that are here today, your life will fall into one of two camps, either where you're passing the test or where you're failing the test. Your life will fall into one of those two camps. Which camp are you in? Sometimes in the life of the church, you know, as a pastor, you know, one of the hardest messages that I ever preach is when you start talking about money. People don't want to hear messages about money. But I've learned over the years that when it comes to talking about money, it's not really about money, it's really about the heart. It's about what kind of manager you are. And I've come over the years to discover that when it comes to money in the church, there are two categories. There are your tippers, and then there are your tithers. Tippers are ones who, you know, come and they give a little bit. That was a great show. You know, here's $5. You know, so they tip you. But you know what? God is saying, I don't want tippers. I want people who recognize that I own everything they have. And they have the privilege of using it. 90% of it they can use and to take care of their families, change their lives, do incredible things. 10% of it is just a token of saying, you know what, I believe this is my way of saying, Lord, everything I have comes from you. And so some people fail because they don't really believe that God is the owner. They still think they're the owner. They still think they're the ones who control everything. And so this morning, in just a few moments, we're about to transition, and we're going to finish the service today with communion. And communion is not meant to be a complicated thing. It's not meant to be a difficult thing. It's not meant to be with a lot of ceremony and everything. It's a very simple act. And it's an act where I'm reminded that as we transition to it, communion reminds us that Jesus gave up all his rights. He had the rights. He gave up all his rights. And he gave his life for you and me. As we go to communion, we need to be reminded that he is the owner. He is the creator of everything. And being the very creator of this world, he did not consider it beneath him to humble himself, to give up his rights, and to give his very life on the cross. His body was broken. His blood was shed. He didn't have to do that. He's the owner. He's the creator. But he humbled himself even to death, to the point of death on a cross, a cruel death on a cross. So today, as we transition to the communion table in just a moment, I want you to think about this parable today. And I want you to ask yourself, what kind of manager are you of all that God has given you? Because one day, that's really what the whole question is going to be about, is what kind of manager are you with all that God has given you? Are you passing or failing? If you're failing, then I'm asking you this morning, I'm pleading with you to recommit to being the best manager that you can be for God and make him the owner of your life. This morning we're going to come over to the table and the Lord's table, and we're going to share this time together. As we do that, I just want us to bow our heads right now. We're gonna pray in just a moment. We're gonna ask God's blessing on the bread and the juice that we're gonna share today. But even before we do that, we are gonna sing a song, probably even after communion, about how we need to surrender all. I think we need to do that today. I think once again, we need to just stop and say, Lord, you're the owner, and I have the wonderful privilege of using everything I have to your honor and glory. So let's pause in prayer right now. Let's just have a few moments of silent prayer, and if God is speaking to you, if God is somehow twisting at your heart and saying, listen to the truth of this story, recommit today and make him truly the CEO, the manager, the owner, the Lord of your life. Do that today. And let's just pause in silent prayer. And maybe there's something you need to just lay before the Lord to do that.